Hello, this is your weekly Tech Law 10. I'm Eric Sinrod at Duane Morris in the sunny Bay Area of San Francisco, and I'm with my colleague and friend Jonathan Armstrong in London. Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks. Yeah, and welcome everybody to the podcast this week.
Yes, and Jonathan and I have each had a very busy week, but we're devoted to this podcast, so here we are. And it seemed to me, Jonathan, that perhaps this week we should talk about some rumblings that I'm aware of. Apparently, on your side of the pond in the UK, there's brewing a potential nationwide electronic surveillance plan such that, you know, perhaps a UK Big Brother will start monitoring all electronic communications of British citizens. And it's my understanding this comes in the wake of efforts in 2008 that ultimately did not get off the ground. But apparently there's been some information disclosed about this to the Internet Service Provider Association by the Britain's Home Office. And I'm curious, since you're right there and on the scene, what you know and what you can share and what your thoughts are about this.
Yeah, I think this whole story is intriguing. And I've spent, as you know, Eric, half the week in the US and half the week in the UK. So I feel like, well, if we're in a classical mood, like old Tiresias, I have seen both sides of the argument. But I think that the feeling is probably as strong on both sides of the Atlantic. And without being over political about this, I think the whole thing looks a mess because it is. As you rightly say, the last Labour administration brought these proposals in originally, and they were objected to by the Conservative opposition and very vehemently by the Liberal Democrat Party, who are the third minority party in the UK. Now, the Lib Dems have some very bright technology people in the party who are close to the leadership, and some people who are involved in technology businesses and know this space very well and are very intelligent. And their opposition to the original proposals, in my view, was principled and well-informed. And then these proposals seem to go away. Now, obviously, they're in response to the increased terror threat that we're all under. And really, these proposals stem from the 7/7 attacks and the feeling of some that if they had had access to more SMS records, email records, internet traffic records, then those attacks could have been prevented or the culprits found quicker. Now, leaving aside whether that's true or not, there was initially a voluntary scheme that internet service providers signed up to, and then the government was trying to make that scheme mandatory. But because the political opposition was too strong, those proposals were shelved. And now we're in this weird situation where the Conservatives and Lib Dems, i.e. the former attackers of these proposals, are trying to reintroduce them. And as you say, it has been a mess the way in which this information has been leaked, starting on Sunday, as you say, after the ISPA rumors, which have subsequently been confirmed by the government. And David Cameron has spoken briefly about it. Nick Clegg, the leader of the Lib Dem party and the Deputy Prime Minister, has spoken briefly about it, but we're still very short on detail. What the government are keen to emphasize, however, is the fact that they only want to look at traffic data. So that's the to and from bits of emails, let's say, rather than the content themselves. And what they're saying is that if the security services, for example, wanted to go and get the content, once they've got the traffic data, then they'd have to get a warrant. But there's a couple of things that are almost worse than the original proposal. And again, if you look at the political background, which is strange, first of all, the security services would like traffic data real time. And the original proposal seemed to be that ISPs and information services providers, wherever they're different from ISPs, that includes telcos, people like that, they would have to provide access to 12 months' worth of logs almost after the event. Now the proposals seem to be real-time. That seems to be technically quite challenging. And the government's throwing around all sorts of estimates on cost. Generally speaking, if this were to be an IT project that the government was involved with that ran to cost, it would be the first ever that had run to cost. The track record, unfortunately, in the UK government is that IT projects never run to budget. So I think we can safely say that this is going to be, if not a billion-dollar project, then at least multi-millions, because the government's committed to helping pay for the extra equipment involved. It's going to burden a lot of information services providers. The question will be, of course, how the government can encourage those providers outside of the US to join in the scheme. Obviously, it's a fairly useless scheme if it's limited only to servers and services that are provided by UK entities. And you've just got to question whether it serves any purpose at all. So I'm sorry if that sounds a bit one-sided, Eric, but I can tell you almost from public opinion over here, that's about as neutral as you're going to get on these proposals. They to say that they've not gone down well is an understatement. The funniest reaction I have seen, and I suppose the only less than annoyed reaction I've seen, is from a spoof Twitter account of the Queen, who's tried to defend these proposals by saying, we have to monitor emails, voicemail messages, and telephone calls because Rupert Murdoch isn't going to do it anymore. But that's about the only light at the end of the tunnel in these proposals. I don't know whether you have a U.S. view, Eric, or whether I've gone on too long about it.
I mean, I'd love to be the devil's advocate here, but I think my comments are pretty much going to be in line with yours. And using the devil metaphor, I guess maybe the devil would be in the details. You talk about, you know, all they would seek would be, you know, trafficking data instead of, you know, the meat or the content of communications. But as I think you would agree, Jonathan, you know, even trafficking data can be revealing and can be significant. You know, what they say they want is the who, what, where, and when of communications. Well, you know, who you're communicating with at given times and in given circumstances can shed light on certain activities. I mean, let's just say something very private. Let's just say there's a married person who's carrying on with in a romantic relationship outside of his own marriage. You know, in theory, that could be snooped upon simply by way of the trafficking data, I'm just imagining. But various profiles can be put together possibly even without getting to the meat of the actual communications. And I guess the concern I would have is that, you know, as you point out, this could be fantastically expensive, and you know, and then balancing, you know, are we going to be infringing more on privacy or truly protecting the public interest in ferreting out terrorism and crime? And you know, those questions I don't think have been answered adequately to justify what could be the cost. I think, you know, most of us would agree, you know, that in a vacuum, you know, if we could do something efficient and economical that would thwart terrorism and crime, that's great. I mean, you know, law-abiding people like us do not want terrorism and crime to exist and proliferate. On the other hand, you know, we don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction that, you know, bankrupts a country and infringes on privacy and doesn't get the job done. So
You're right. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You don't find a needle in a haystack by building a bigger haystack.
There you go. It's a different metaphor. So that's our Tech Law 10 for today. Jonathan and I are each separately going to be traveling next week, so our next podcast will be a little more than a week from now, not exactly a week. But we wish you well. Keep corresponding with us in terms of ideas for topics. And as you know, you can reach us by email. I'm ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're everywhere. Jonathan, why don't you close it out?
Yeah, and all that remains, I guess, is for those of you who celebrate it, have a very happy Easter. We hope that whatever your persuasion, you get a good break anyway over the weekend. Don't eat too much chocolate, and we'll see you when we return.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.